Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, we have Mandy Tang. Mandy is the author of Heal Your Career Wounds, Navigating the Trauma of Today's Workplace. Mandy is a career coach and holistic healer. She helps clients from big tech startups and the nonprofit sector to bring more creativity and joy into their work lives. Her training includes an MBA in finance from Columbia, certification as a trauma-informed yoga instructor, and completion of a three-year shamanic practitioner's program. Mandy runs the popular TikTok account at Career Coach Mandy with over 161,000 followers, and a school community of artists and creators called the Everyday Creatives Club that meets weekly for accountability and inspiration. Oh, well, Mandy, I'd just like to say welcome to the Great Awakening show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Thanks
I
for
know.
Having me here.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And about your brilliant book, honestly, Heal Your Career Wounds. Heal Your Career Wounds. You know, this is so important for people because so many people have, number one, problems with, you know, what is my career? Yeah. What is my purpose in life? Number one.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, if they're in the wrong job, they stay in it for way too long. You know, they don't follow their passion. You know, this is our life. We've got to follow our passion, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. And so just tell us all about your book, Heal Your Career Wounds.
Sure. So this is meant to be a companion or a guide for anyone who is trying to make a change in their career. So they recognize that they have been stuck. They recognize that they're kind of following some of the same patterns and they're not sure what to do next. And I think we've all been there. We've all had some thing that keeps us back or something that makes us not know what the next step is. And in my profession, I have coached hundreds of people through this process. And I wanted to write this book because I felt like I've seen so many examples and so many kind of patterns and trends of what people tend to do in these really difficult situations. And I was like, I feel a responsibility to share this, you know, to not just be the person who holds this knowledge, but to actually share it. And so that anyone going through it would maybe feel less alone and feel less intimidated by the process of figuring out what to do next in your career after having gone through some trauma, big or small, you know, at work.
Yeah. And what is it? Tell us about, you know, different wounds that you have discovered through all of your, you know, all of your coaching.
Yeah. So I think a lot of it comes down to identity, and it comes down to we all want to feel seen. We want to feel heard. We want to feel that we're making a meaningful difference. And in the pursuit of that connection and in pursuit of that sense of meaning and purpose, we can misdirect our energy sometimes. So sometimes we work really hard for other people's approval, you know, or sometimes we work tirelessly, endlessly because we feel like it has to be perfect. And if my work is not perfect, then I am not perfect. And then I'm not worthy of being here. And what if I get fired? And what if I'm not good enough? And all of those sort of perfectionism things.
Yes.
There's also, you know, there's burnout, of course.
Yes.
But then past burnout is also apathy, where you're so burned out that you just don't even care anymore. And it's hard to reconnect with your sense of energy and purpose and meaning because you're just so over it that you can't even muster any kind of, motivation to do anything. So I've seen both ends of the spectrum, where on one hand, you're just driving yourself into the ground, you're working way too hard, you're making work the only thing that matters. And of course, like, your health suffers, your relationships suffer, your own sense of identity suffers because now you've just thrown everything into work, right? And then on the other end, it's someone who's so disconnected, doesn't give a crap, is so over it, and is bitter and has anger towards it, and they're just fed up with it on that end. So the whole spectrum, the whole spectrum.
And burnout, what are some of the signs of burnout? That could be like, a workaholic. And it's so important because, especially for women, I feel, it's like it almost becomes the job more important than the family, their career more important than, which I think is so, oh, it's, it's becomes difficult.
Yeah, and I think because we so the okay, what you described, like having it be more important than life and your family, is because what I want people to understand is that we do get a big dopamine hit from the work. We do get that sense of satisfaction, and we are always chasing. We're chasing the next thing. We're chasing the feeling of like, wow, I did an awesome job, or we're chasing, the award and the
To be the
validation
best.
and to be the best and to make the most money and to just be
That's
like
right.
crushing it, right? Like, we are chasing that. Because I think the pressures to be a woman are so high, and the pressures to be a perfect mom, be a perfect wife, be a great daughter, be and also be crushing it at work, right?
To do it all is that's a lot of pressure.
To do it all. And I think a lot of people, how that manifests is like they don't know how to moderate. They only know how to go either 0 or 100. So they just try to go 100 at everything.
And
And
then
so
that causes burnout.
that's what causes the burnout, is because I think also having, I call it like looking for love in all the wrong places. You're like looking for a sense of meaning and identity through what, like meeting a KPI target. Like your job is not going to love you back, So you have to have boundaries and limits, and you have to know, okay, this is actually a transaction. They're paying me to do a job. Something I have to
That's
tell
right.
high-performing women all the time is act what they're paying you. They're not paying you enough for you to be working 14-hour days.
That's
They're
right.
not paying you enough to take on everybody else's work and say, oh, no, I'll just do it because I think I'll do it better than if I were to let someone else do it. They're not paying you enough. So, like, and the reason I push them to kind of create more of a boundary around their work is because most people have a lot more creative desires outside of work,
That's right. Yeah.
Hobbies, interests. I want to be a painter. I want to be a writer. I want to, like, nobody grew up saying, I want to be an operations analyst. Like,
Yes.
nobody said that,
And
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And many, many people have dreams of having their own business and doing, you know, making their hobby into their own business and that side hustle, making it in, you know, that's my dream. And yeah, instead of working for someone, yeah.
So I think like when I work with people, I try to encourage them to, like, if you imagine that your life is a painting, but the painting, the entire painting is taken up by your 9-to-5 job. You know, you need to zoom out and let more of your life into the frame. Like, what are your, like, I'll ask, like, what are your interests? Like, what do you like to do for fun? Or what do you like to do for exercise? And they'll be like, oh, I used to be really into yoga, but I haven't done it in 6 months.
Yeah.
It's because you're just letting the job take up the entire frame of your life. And that's the nature of work, is it will keep taking. It will just vacuum it up, all your time and energy, if you let it. So I like to work with women specifically to also be like, what are your other, like, you mentioned wanting to start a business. What does that look like? You mentioned having a side hustle, but you haven't been able to like dedicate time to it. What does that look like? Because I think the burnout happens when you're just doing one thing and you're obsessing over it, and then that's it.
Yeah.
You have no time or energy for anything else.
And also, you know, that's why I said in the beginning, if it's not your passion, you know, then it makes it even worse with the burnout, because you're not following your guiding star. You know, I believe that in life, we have to follow our passion, and we'll be happy if we follow our passion. You know, even, you know, okay, just try it. You know, if it's a mistake and it doesn't happen, then, but at least you've tried, you know what I mean? To follow that.
Yeah.
It's so important to, you know, and give, fulfill that inner purpose that we've all got in our life. You know, as a yogini, I believe that everyone has an inner purpose, you know, and it's so important to try and fulfill that, because that will give you that will help you be so much more happier and fulfilled, you know, in so many different ways, giving back to society, giving back to humanity, you know, in your purpose.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think that you'll also go faster and do more and be more effective when you're in your purpose.
Yes.
And this is something people talk to me about a lot, is they say, you know, I want to, but I've already spent 6 years building up my expertise in this other thing, and I'm good at it, and I'm getting paid well, and I'm miserable, yes, but it gives me all of these other things. And so I can't possibly go after, first off, I don't even know what my dream looks like. I kind of know, but I don't really know. So then I'm sort of giving up something that's very stable and tangible and secure for this amorphous dream that may or may not work out.
Yeah.
So that's usually the point where people are sitting, and that's why the change doesn't happen.
Yes.
So what I tell them is, I'm like, okay, but listen, the thing you're doing now, give yourself a grade. Like, how in the pocket are you really feeling with it? How much do you really like it? And they'll be like, I don't know, like a C plus, you know, like I'm just barely like, it was interesting. Now I'm not really learning as much anymore. Right. And I'll be like, okay, so basically you're a C student in this because you just don't really care. And that's why it feels heavy and it feels miserable and all these things. Imagine if you were to do something where you feel energized, where you feel inspired, where you feel connected, where you are giving back, you are sharing your teachings with other people, you are empowering other people in a way that feels, it just makes sense to you.
Yes.
Like if you're an A in something else, you are going to go faster. You are going to go further. It's like the longevity of it too. Yeah. It's like that, like, would you rather be mid happy and miserable for the next 10 years? Or would you rather suffer a little bit, have to work it out, not really know what the path is, but be following that joy?
Yeah.
And then the next 20 years, you're on fire.
That's right. Know? That's right.
So it's hard though, because you know, it's like people, they think with their heads.
Yes.
And we're so trained to do that.
Mm.
So that's, I think, a lot of the work that I do as a coach is just get moving past the mental chatter and the mental blocks and all of the mental objections, and helping people connect with, okay, but what is
the heart more?
Yeah, what is the heart? Like, what do I really want? And that usually is, it's quieter.
Mm.
It's not as sure. Like the analytical mind is very sure about, like, very black and white, but the heart is a little bit gentler, softer, quieter. Yes. So it's like learning to trust that.
Mm.
And you know, you're a yoga person, so of course you'll understand this, but it's also getting into the body. So so I'm always like, what's your exercise? Like, what's your thing? What are you, a runner? Are you a swimmer? Are you a, because it's learning to trust those quieter instincts more than the kind of mechanical,
that's right,
beat of the corporate drum, you know?
Yes. Yes. That's the, you know, that's the personality of, you know, that's not who you are. Yeah. It's like the ego personality. Your job is not who you are. It's just something that you do. You know, you know, you are a beautiful, you know, soul, you know, that is craving, you want to experience wonderful things in life, to fulfill your soul, to make your soul soar, you know, to make your heart sing, to have them experiences, because this is it. We're on the leading edge in this realm, you know.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it. We have to, you know, it's, but I feel it as well. And I was talking to one of my friends, you know, she's got her degrees and everything, but it's very difficult for her to move out of that comfort zone. Yeah. She's been in that comfort zone, you know, with you know, her husband looking after her. But it's very difficult, I think, for some women to take the leap, you know, and take that leap of faith and move out of that comfort zone. And the thing is, it's been so many years. And if you don't take that leap, I believe the universe, God, goddess, whatever you want to call it, source, will make a situation and move you anyway. And it won't be very comfortable in that movement. Right? Because it's the only way. You've got to either do it from yourself and take the challenge. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you make the mistake. That's how we learn. We learn, and we never give up. We never give in. We bring ourselves back up and we try again until, you know, we succeed. And you know, the universe loves a tryer. You've got to try. You've got to take that leap. I feel
the universe loves a trier. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And get out of that comfort zone. It's the comfort zone sometimes that is so suffocating, you know, with the children and the and this and that and the money and the safe place, you know.
You're just really speaking my language. I mean, this is exactly The universe loves a trier, and if you don't move, the universe will move you. And also, sometimes I would argue not. Like, people want control, right? They want to know exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen so that they can control it and they can minimize their pain or minimize their time wasted or minimize whatever calculation in their mind, right? But it's like the universe doesn't care that you get it perfect. The universe just wants you to be moving.
Yes.
You know?
Just take that leap of faith.
Just try it. Just try. Just. And so I don't know if you observe this, but something I feel like it's getting more acute. I don't know. Maybe just like with the scrolling culture or whatnot. But like something's happening where someone will have this really big, great creative idea. And they'll tell it to you and you'll be like, that sounds awesome. And then immediately after they have the idea, they will then supply all the reasons why it's a bad idea. You know, they'll be like, I'll just make up a silly example, but let's say they're like, I've been thinking about becoming a yoga instructor. Okay. Beautiful. Perfect. I see the vision. This is amazing. Alignment, teaching, spirituality, mind, body, like yes, yes, yes. 10 out of 10. Right.
Yes.
And then in the same breath, they'll be like, but I can't because how am I going to make money? But I can't because I already have a degree in mechanical engineering. And like, who goes from that to that? It doesn't make any sense, you know? And they will just supply all the reasons. And I don't, like intellectually, I know why people do this. It's because we've been trained to just identify all the risks and mitigate risk. But spiritually, I'm like, okay, your job is to lay out the vision and literally do not allow the second part of that. Like, do not allow all of the objections in. You can't create from a place of just constant mental objections.
That's
you
right.
have to be so connected to the vision of the original vision of you in the studio with the morning light on your body teaching. Like, that needs to be the thing that drives you. And so the universe doesn't care if you take this teacher program or that teacher program. It doesn't care if you do this yoga nidra versus what it doesn't care. It literally is just like, are they moving towards their goal? Are they trying? If they're trying, then we'll just open more and more
That's
opportunities.
Right. That's right.
And we'll just keep throwing these incredible things at them.
Yes.
And then everything multiplies. Like,
that's right. That's co-creation. That's co-creation.
It's co-creation.
You know, but you've got to realize that because we're made in the image of God, goddess, whatever you want to call, the creator.
Yeah.
Therefore, we are creators of our own lives, you know, and of the collective life. But we've got to take the first step because the universe is not going to take that first step for you. Because once you take that first step, it's like, oh, they really want it. Okay, we're going to, and like you said, we'll open doors, we'll bring in this person. Okay. Yeah, you know, the momentum gathers, you know, the momentum gathers it's just that's co-creation.
What do you think? What do you tell people about confidence, about the mental aspect of being like you, because you can take the first step? Like in your practice, I'm curious, like, what do you tell people when they're like, I'm afraid to take the first step? Like, how would you encourage them to be like, no, but you are worthy, or you are complete, or you are imperfect and therefore perfect? Like, what do you say to them? I'm just curious.
I think unworthiness is such a big thing, you know, especially for women, because women are not, we don't receive well. You know, it's like we're such givers. We give to the family, we give to the work, we give to everyone else, but we don't give to ourselves, you know, to allow ourselves to have that space to think, you know, I really want to change my career. I really want to go for what I've always been, you know, my passion for, you know. And it's funny because once you do that, as we said, co-creation, and you start, and then everyone else around you becomes happier because you're happier. And we're the patriarch, right? We're the matriarch. We're the ones who are in control of the family. I know that men think they are, right? But really, it's the woman and the grandmother, okay? Right? We are. And it's our energy that comes down to the children and to everyone else. And if we're happy, and we're feeling that in a sense of fulfillment and following our passion, then we're making the whole family feel like that. We're making our community feel like that. Our social media feels like that because we're putting it out there. We're helping to elevate the vibration of the world. It's a responsibility. Don't you think that's a responsibility to do that, to follow your passion, to light that light, Help others do it as well.
Yeah, I love that because it feels like being and it's so true. It's like we really set the tone. We set the tone for the family
Yes.
and then for the community and then for, depending on how public you are, the culture that's out there. And I think that the difference that you can make if you're in your pocket and if you really are doing what you're meant to be doing and you are taking those actions and you are chasing it and co-creating with the universe, it's like you could not just change your life, but you could change your entire family's like happiness, their trajectory, what they see, how they're inspired, their mood.
It makes your children maybe take that leap as well and follow
Yeah,
their passion, because they've seen you do it.
they see the example. You're modeling a belief that you can create what you want to see. And I'm a big believer in this because that's honestly how the book came about. Like, I got this book deal in my when I was 42. And I thought it was never going to happen. I thought, well, for years, I was like, I want to be a writer, but the ship has sailed. I was like, I'm in my 40s. I mean, the ship has sailed. I have no, I'm, this is not going to happen. And it was truly through, like, it was coinciding with a time when I was like building my social media and I was doing inspire, like, motivation content, self-help content. And I think I just, and also I was coaching a lot. So I was coaching people. And of course, as a coach, my style is like I'm very optimistic. That's just naturally what happens when I'm in a room with someone and I'm like, you can do it, So I like feel like I just took so much of my own medicine and kind of like gassed myself up to the point where I was telling everyone, you can do it, you can do it. And then finally I was like, wait, what if I could do it?
I can
What if I could do it? Why not
it.
me? Like, what? And then, so people think, like, people look at my life now and they're like, oh, but you have all this, you have a book and you have a family and you have all these things. And it's like, yeah, but that's just because I was positively delusional enough to keep feeding myself like high density, good nutritional brain food. That and that now I'm like, it's never too late.
That's right.
I mean, I'm 44 now and I'm talking about a book I wrote. I mean, I think when you're younger, you kind of put these like random, like unrealistic goals on yourself, like, oh, by 25, I should start my business, and by 30, I should be blah, blah, blah. And it's like none of the timeline stuff ever worked for me. It
No,
was
no.
really just when I started to believe that things were possible. And that I could write my own ending.
Yes, and you needed the wisdom of them 42 years to write that book and for
Oh my
you to
God.
go through all of your clients and to get all of that information of helping all them people for it to for you to write Heal Your
100%.
Feelings.
Can you imagine if I'm like 25 writing this book? First off, it'd be 3 pages. There's like there's nothing in there. I don't know a thing. I don't have a brain cell in my brain. Yeah, it's like I had to spend 8 years coaching people and gathering all of these, just observing, to then be able to take it in and distill it and organize that information in a way that would make sense, for just someone. I just imagine people on the train just casually reading this, like, so how can I make it sort of what I'm proud of with this is honestly that it's like a kind of heavy topic. I mean, it's like about career wounds, but I write it in a way that's like light. Like I try to make it light because I'm like, it's so heavy. It is so heavy, but we don't have to be like so somber and serious about it. I try to make it fun. I try to make it a light read of a heavy topic.
Yeah, I love that. That's absolutely brilliant. That's really good. That really is. And the achievement trap. You write that high achievers are often the most quietly damaged by their work. Wow. The achievement trap. How does it relate, to what we may have gone through in childhood? Like, that's a big one. Yeah. Because lots of the time, it's like our parents, they want us to do what they want us to do, not what we want to do. So we follow them into some law degree, but we're truly really creative, because, and how, the achievement, you've got to achieve this, you've got to achieve that, or your dad was in this business and we want you to go into the business. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. I think that there's a control element of parents wanting to control our path so that they keep us safe. I think there's a lot of that. And then I think, like, as you were talking, something I was thinking was like the condition, like conditional love. Like,
That's right. Instead of unconditional love.
yeah, it's like okay. I think most people would know there's almost like do's and don'ts, right? Like these are paths that are really looked upon very positively, like, oh, if you were a doctor or a lawyer or these very clear professions or follow in the line of your family's footsteps, you know. My dad was a banker. He would have been thrilled that I was a banker. I'm not a banker. I'm a more creative person, you know. So the way I think about it is within a family structure, there are hierarchies and there are rules and there are ways to get praise and love. And for a lot of families, especially like immigrant families like mine, right? Minority families, like, or what I'll say here is also like in a lot of East Asian culture families, just speaking from my own experience, like, there is a, we don't really say, I love you. Like, my Chinese parents are not saying, I love you, Mandy. That's like not a thing that is said. The expectation is that you're going to do things like if you're a good kid and if you achieve, that's not even worthy of praise. That's just expected. And then if you do things that are kind of showing that you're the best, like, oh, I got straight A's, I got into this good school, I work at McKinsey, I work at Goldman Sachs, I'm doing all these things that are very achievement based. You get praise. And in these families, like praise is the closest you're going to get to love.
That's so sad, isn't it? But you know what? It's the same as my parents. I'm 58, yeah. And my parents, growing up, they never told me they loved me, ever. Until one time when I said that I was sleeping around my girlfriend's house, and she said she was sleeping around my house, and my mother phoned up, and we wasn't there, and my dad come running and found us, and he's like, "Get in the car," and that was it. I went off We had such an argument. I said, but you never told me you love me. And it had to be come from me. Yeah. And he went, we love you more than anything in the world. But I realized their parents never told them, you
Yeah.
know? And it was, and their parents never told them. And we would go, and now because of my four children, I've stopped it. Yeah. And I tell my
Yeah.
children that I love them all the time, ever since they were, you know, little babies. And
Yeah.
my parents tell them that they love my children more than anything. And when we're on the phone now, we all tell each other that we love each other all the time. But it took me to shout at
Yeah,
them
you broke it. You
to
broke
break
it.
it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's incredible. And like same with me. It did never occurred to me to not tell my kids. I've got younger kids now. They're, elementary, middle school.
Yeah.
But I'm every day I'm like, I love you so much. You know? I'm just obsessed. I love you're the best thing ever. Like I tell them incessantly, and I know that's definitely not how I grew up.
Yes.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
And but my parents are the same. My parents
Yeah.
are all, we love you so much. Like,
Yeah.
it's like a
That's
total love
right.
fest. And I'm like, this is not how I grew up. This
That's
is
right.
not how
So
I was,
funny.
you know. But so so I think that because we kind of grow up in these more silent, cold, I don't want to say cold. It's not like it was like a frigid place, but it was a different generation, right? So because we grew up like this, the only you started to learn, like, oh, if I do these certain things, I get a really positive reaction. Like, if I win this academic competition, or if I'm chosen to be part of this scholarly club or something, then, oh, wow, my parents actually like pay attention. So I think we start to learn that achievement equals praise, equals some form of love. And that happens pretty early on in our psyche. And then we go into the workplace, which a lot of people are saying now is like a similar, people say, oh, this is work, but like we're all family here, right? It's no accident. It's a similar hierarchical structure. And so we slip very easily back into the like, oh, I know how to play this game. If I just do these seven things, so I really think a lot, it's like really scary, but I think a lot of what we're doing at work is we're still chasing that love. We're still chasing that sense
Approval.
of like approval. I matter. I'm important. And that's why this is something it just kind of clicked when I was doing a lot of coaching. That's why the emotional reaction to things at work, that on paper, it's like it's just a job. I mean, I had people that often in my coaching practice where they're in tears. You know this. I mean, something happens at work. People say it broke my work, broke my heart. They get passed over for a promotion, or they get told one thing and then their boss does another. And it feels as much of an emotional weight like a personal relationship. It feels as heavy. It feels like as much of a betrayal or as much of a humiliation or a slight as when we were kids and we weren't getting that, or as when we were adolescents and trying to figure out where do we fit in the social circle? Are we cool enough? Are we? It doesn't change. And so people come with these. That's why I literally called it career wounds, because I was like, oh my God, this is not casual. Like, people are, and also, obviously, I have my own experiences with work. And so I also knew that sometimes at work, it could truly like break your heart because you just put so much into it, So that's kind of the realization. I was like, oh my God, this is so serious.
That's
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Right. And I believe, you know, we all go through dark night of the souls, you know, and in this awakening time, it's like, I think we're going on a collective dark night of the soul as well. But that dark night of the soul is very important, and it's really beneficial because it's a breakdown for a breakthrough, you know, and maybe, you know, the reason why you were humiliated and looked over because you wasn't in the right job. You know, there's always a reason. It's like the universe coming in again and saying, no, you shouldn't be here. You know, you should be somewhere else, because otherwise you would thrive and it would be working out, you know, in that way.
Yes.
Well, so there's always reasons for, you know, there's reasons why we get ill. There's reasons why, because it's like the universe coming in, you know, the divine coming in and redirecting us to our true path, to our passion.
Exactly. And the reason why it hurts so much, the reason why it is so intense, is the universe being like, now pay attention, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So co-create.
It is so needed at this time. It really is. You know, it's just, and it's a thing that I think people, they have such a problem with, you know, because they took the easy way out instead of having that the hard road. But the difficult road is always the one that leads to the most rewards. Look at every single amazing story, you know, in the Bible. Look at all what they went through. Look at, you know, Joseph and the amazing Technicolor dream. Oh my gosh, he was sold into slavery. All them things that happened to him. He was in the, you know, in the jail. And it's like, in the end, he became the Pharaoh. He put it in and he never gave up. He never gave up. He never gave in because he had that faith. What it is it's trust and it's faith. Faith that what, you know, your dream, your passion will be needed in this world.
Yeah.
It will be successful because it's needed. Because otherwise you wouldn't have it in your soul.
Yeah.
You wouldn't
What is the calling there for?
You wouldn't be given it. Your calling. There's a reason why we have these divine callings. There's a reason why we have, you know, this spiritual mission that each of us are on, this life purpose, because it's given to us from the Most High before we were even born. And that is our divine mission. And if we don't follow that, we're always going to be a little bit unhappy.
Nothing. I agree.
And that's when the universe comes in, or God comes in and goes, okay, they're not following what their soul was in this life. So, okay.
What to do.
Yeah. You know, give them the push.
Yeah. Give them the push. Give them a little bit more unhappiness until they literally have a mentee bee and have to leave.
It's true. I'm sorry.
It's true.
It's true, because we, you know, that's why they call it a passion. That's why they call it a calling. your divine calling, because it's that call that keeps you wanting to go back to it. You know,
yes,
I love sewing. I love that. I've sewed all my life. You know, I'd love to have a business in that. It's my passion. You know,
yes,
not being in an office, whatever it is. You know, I think that's this is our life, and we have to live it to the fullest that we can.
Yeah. And there's so much more waiting for you
Yes.
beyond what you can even see. So you have to follow it.
Yes.
You have to follow it. I mean, it's I just say this to clients all the time. I'm like, what do you want me to say? You're not going to get any permission from me to do nothing. Like, you're talking to me because you know I'm going to tell you to go after it.
That's right.
And you can have 100 reasons why it's not a good idea, but it is your calling and you keep hearing it and you've heard it for a long time.
Yeah.
And it won't go away and it won't leave you alone. And the road to that calling will be bumpy and will have a learning curve. So you might as well start sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Just get to it. What are you waiting for?
And also, you're never too old.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, even if you're 70 years old,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can
it doesn't
do
matter.
Your calling then, you know, with all of your wisdom and all of your knowledge.
Yeah. It's still needed. And people also say, well, but it's been said before. Not in your voice. It hasn't been said before. Not with your experience, not with your perspective.
Because your perspective and your voice will touch other people's souls that haven't been touched
yes.
before.
Exactly. Or haven't heard it said before. And also
they will relate to you. Yeah.
Yes. Because we need to hear it many times.
It's your story. That's why your story is so important, you know, to talk your story, to say what's happened to you in your life, to write that book, to write your memoir, to follow your passion. It's important because people relate to that then.
People relate to it. They need
the
to hear
human
it.
Nature. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And the last question, Mandy, because it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you. I love it. What is the most important thing you hope readers will take away from Heal Your Career Wounds?
Change is always possible. It's never too late. Follow the calling. Even if it's not a complete instruction set, it's not like you're building a Lego and then it has all 95 steps. You're going to get the first two steps. You just have to trust the rest will come.
Yes, that is so true. And it will. It will. Will it?
Will it?
It
will.
Will it? And so it shall be. You know,
yeah.
Put out and believe in yourself. Trust in your calling. Trust in that. It's so
yes.
Wow. Mandy, it's been absolutely wonderful.
Joanne, thank you so much. I love this conversation. I feel like we're totally vibing.
Definitely.
I was like getting inspired by what you were saying. I was like, yes, it is important. Like, I just really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the Great Awakening Show. It's been wonderful.